As we continue in worship this morning, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit. King David was one of the authors that wrote the book of Psalms. There were other ones, but King David probably wrote 95% of it. And then if you know anything about King David's story, King David wrestled a lot with personal struggles of sin or addiction. Not really addiction, but just lust after Bathsheba and just, power things in this life. But King David was called the man after God's own heart, despite his struggles with sin and issues in life. But he wrote in chapter 46, verses 1 through 11, "Our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Remember that this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because God is our help in our trouble, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The waters therefore roar and be troubled, the mountains shake with the swelling therefore. There is a river that streams where shall be made glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And this blew me away reading that. There's a song by Shane and Shane. They're a newer Christian artist, but they wrote a song based on Psalm 46. And there's a song, and the lyric goes, the waves, crash, the mountains move. I know my God is in control. And a lot of times, I think why we struggle in life, we want to be in control. In reality, we can't be in control because God's in control. And this morning, I'm sharing about a very tough topic. I'm talking about confession of sin. It's not an easy thing to do. We know we know confession is a big part of our life. And, the Bible talks about if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, to be saved. Or if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just, and he'll hear our sins. But it's a topic that we don't like to talk about, right? Because there might be a nuance with Catholicism where we think confession is this place where we go to a priest. We meet in a little room, we share about our secrets or whatever, and then, that's it. But we as believers in the Evangelical Christian Church can come to the Lord because Jesus made that possible to come to God one-on-one to meet with sin. So it's a tough topic this morning, and so I was convicted of that this morning, that God is our refuge no matter if we struggle with sin. Sometimes things are out of our control. It's not any fault of our own, but just the broken world we live in. And thinking about issues in our world, we had a bridge collapse in Pittsburgh. Thank God that nobody was really, people were seriously hurt, but they weren't killed. And God, I believe God was in that. Could have been a lot worse. And then with the situation in Ukraine and Crimea and the whole issue with Russia, there might be a pending war. And so, and then Psalm 46 goes on to say that the Lord God makes wars to cease. He's that powerful, that God can command wars to cease. And we know that God is bigger than this conflict in, not only in our own lives, but in spiritual ways, but also in ways of the world with war. And so God is in that right now as the tensions are high in Ukraine. And I know we have Alliance workers in Ukraine, some from this district. So I pray, let's be praying for them. But anyway, confessing sin is no easy task or easy thing to do. Earlier, you might have saw me bring up this bag, and you're like, what is this? And my sermon title is called Dirty Laundry, so I'm going to throw my dirty laundry on the ground. And there she goes. But so have you ever watched the show Hoarders? I've seen it a handful of times. It's on A&E, where people tend to hoard random things. They hoard, grocery bags or random antiques they don't really use. But if you ever watch the show, these people walk in this house or this room and it's all full and you can't get around. But if you haven't watched it, there's some free episodes on YouTube or on their website, so just get a chance to watch it. But the point being that when people hoard, they become self-consumed, that not only their well-being changes, their health changes, but also their safety changes. You can't walk around or do normal life things. Accumulation can be dangerous, and take, for example, laundry. I'm guilty of this, but have you ever watched your laundry pile up over a few days, and you can't really get into your laundry room or your bedroom, and then you're like, okay, God, I guess I'll do my laundry. But if we don't, we let laundry pile up, it can be a hazard, right? Well, the same thing for sin. If we don't deal with our sin, if we don't confess our sins to God and we let it pile up, we'll have more anguish than is necessary. We tend to make excuses for our sin that we'll get to it, and eventually we'll have to deal with it because it's in our way. Just like laundry, the weight of sin is overwhelming and overbearing. When we don't turn and repent from our sins, we bear the guilt and shame of our wrongdoings. Just like if you don't deal with laundry, you're going to deal with the foul smell of laundry. This is actually clean laundry, so don't worry about that. I washed it last night. But if we don't deal with our dirty laundry, we're going to have mold maybe in the laundry, in the washer, or we're going to have a foul smell that's not pleasant. So I think you get the point. But when we don't turn from our sins to God, we always be imprisoned to our past, and we'll never experience the fullness of a better life with Christ. We know this life comes through his amazing grace, through salvation. Forgiveness for many is not an easy topic. As humans, we don't like to be naturally forgiven. It's not natural for others who wronged us, but as Christian, God calls us to live righteously and ask for the forgiveness of our sins as a part of that righteousness. Perhaps you don't know what forgiveness is. Hopefully us here today, we know what forgiveness is, and we've experienced the forgiveness of Christ in our lives. Perhaps we don't. Paige Dean says, forgiveness is the letting go of sin. God has forgiven us our sins, and we forgive others of theirs. It is the moving on instead of dwelling on the past that sin has in us to refuse to harbor in us. I don't know about you, but I think my mom quoted this. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen a cow chew on its cud, but a cow just keeps chewing and chewing and chewing. And I think there's actually a biblical analogy of how, like, meditating, like we chew. But I think sometimes in sin, I know for my own life, I get so stuck on the past or when people hurt me that I never move forward. I'm just stuck. And so we need God to take that sin away from us so we can move forward. Why do we like to dwell in our past? Well, Satan likes to keep us trapped in our thinking so that we'll never change or know that life is better. When in reality, we are just killing ourselves more and more each day by giving into sin. The Israelites were no different. Many of us know the story of the Israelites of how they lovingly followed God, and then there'd be, you know, kind of seasons where they'd love God, and they'd fall away and follow idols. They love God, fall away. And the whole Bible covers that. But we're no different like that, because they too struggled with trading in a holy lifestyle for idols or things that they thought would bring them joy. But that joy was only for a moment, and then torment would come later. Part of their sin issue led them into exile. God could have wiped the Israelite nation away, but in his grace, he led them into exile. And so just think about that. God lovingly led them to exile, even though it doesn't sound peaceful. And so this morning we'll be in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. It's on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with this morning. Just to set the context, we've seen Nehemiah build the wall. We've seen, up to this point, we've seen kind of a recommittal of their faith to God. And then 2 weeks ago when I last preached, we talked about the importance of reading the Word of God and why the Word of God gives us life. And so today our sermon passage comes after the importance of reading the Word. This is the action of after hearing the Word of God. And so in Nehemiah chapter 9, following the instructions of reading the book of the law by Ezra in chapter 8, in the completion of the festival of booths, the Israelites realized they needed to deal with their sin. Up until this point in the story, it had been 23 days since reading with their sin. They realized they had to deal with their sin. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we're convicted of sin, I know in my life, it's not easy to deal with right away. Sometimes we're like, okay, God, like, I know I need to get right with you, but this feels so much better to be this way. I know that's wrong, but sometimes in our life, I feel like we know we need to deal with it, but sometimes it's like, oh, it's not convenient, or it's not the right time. And for whatever reason, the Jews here for 23 days kind of wrestled with not dealing with their sin. A part of it was they were told by Ezra in verse 1 of chapter 8 that it was a holy day and they weren't to mourn. So they had that, so they were told that not to mourn. And then they had a bunch of festival of booths, so they really didn't have a convenient time to give their sins over to God. But I wonder, life, do we make excuses like that too? Like, God, it's not convenient for me to confess right now. Or do we make excuses that, it's not really that big of a sin. Well, all sins are big sins in the eyes of God. And so, just something to think about this morning. The point being, we need to get right with God ASAP, and we shouldn't delay. But we should be situationally aware, that's an army term, of whom is in our presence, where we're at. We're not going to just share things that are detrimental to our lives or other people's. We're not going to always share about details. God knows our hearts. He knows what we struggle with. But you're not always going to share about what dirty laundry you have in your life. I think there's a point of admitting that you struggle with sin and admitting kind of the kind, but you don't need to explain all the details because God knows that. So that's just the point that Nehemiah was making here. Upon reading the word, the Israelites were so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit that they were convicted of their sins. Has that happened to you? I was convicted this morning of Psalm 46 that God is in control and that I can surrender every part of my life. And I was convicted of that this morning that despite, you know, issues I have, God is in control and I can surrender that. But have you trusted or read the word and had it be overwhelming in your life that God convict you of sin? I know some of us have, and hopefully God does that through his word. I know he does, but hopefully you see that. But I wonder how much strife and sin we'd save ourselves from if we actually let God's word permeate into our lives. We know that the Bible gives us every rule of how to follow God and how to overcome sin. We know that we have a Savior who overcame the power and effects of sin in this world and that death no longer has a hold on us. Yet, we still struggle with sin because we're fallen people and we have a sinful world where sin nature is ever present. But yet, we have every way of walking freely with God in the power, freedom over sin, yet we still choose to not follow him. And so, I'm guilty of this, we're all guilty of this, but it's just sad that this is one tool God gave us to help us fight sin, and we don't run to it as often as we should. So our first point before we get into the word this morning is reading and studying the word of God precedes confession. And so let us turn to Nehemiah 9, verse 1 through 5. Nehemiah 9, 1, verses 1 through 5. On the 24th day of the same month, some translations say October 31st, which is interesting, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth, and having dust in their heads. Those of the Israelites' descendants had separated themselves from all other foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day, and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. So if you jump back to verse 3, it says they stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day, and spent another quarter in confession. And so this is where I get that point this morning, that reading the word precedes confession. If we don't know how to confess our sins or turn from them, then we don't know where to start. This is why it's imperative to read the Word of God, because God tells us where we've gone wrong. The whole book, the whole 66 books of the Bible are about God's redemption story from our sin. And it tells us how we can correct our sin, how we can receive God's grace, and how to live righteously under His grace. God could have chosen not to forgive our sins. He could have not chosen to send Jesus, but he did send Jesus, and he did forgive our sins because he loves us beyond anything we could ever imagine. Without God's grace, we'd be dead in our tracks of sin. God doesn't have to give us his grace freely, but he does because he loves us. But this doesn't mean that we should keep on sinning. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 6, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning because of grace? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" I think Paul makes a really important point here that we have God's grace. We have the power to not sin, yet we choose to sin, sometimes wrongly, and that, like, well, God will forgive us anyway. We just keep on living the life. But that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to live a redeemed life, surrendered to him, because there's so much more to life than just struggling in our sins. As changed believers who have a committed relationship with the Lord, we should want to live righteously, following the Lord's commands in his word, and imitating the life he wants for us. Grace is there for us when we do mess up, and thank God that we sang this morning that there is grace on top of grace, but that shouldn't be the first thing we run to and to say we sin, and okay, like God, like you'll deal with our sin because you dealt with us. Like, I want to be so in love with God that sin shouldn't be a thought. You know, like we are going to sin because we're not perfect this side of heaven. We'll be only made perfect in heaven. But it'd be awesome just to see everything else around us fade away and to see the heart of God. And that's just something that I wish I'd have or have the patience to read my Bible, spend more time with God, but I know there's other factors that Satan tries to lead us from. But it'd be so amazing for a moment just to walk that, like every day, and not have to worry about sinning. But God offers that in his grace. We can walk freely from sin, but we oftentimes fall short of that. This is the point here. There'll be times when we stumble and fall away from God, but we shouldn't go looking for sin. Being around people, being in situations that could trigger us towards sin, often get us in trouble. Like the Israelites, we should be good stewards of reading the Bible, because God's word is our weapon against sin. We know the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 that the war that we fight with sin is not a physical war. It's a war against flesh and or it's not a physical war of flesh and blood, it's a war of spiritual things. As we sang this morning, I'll leave for the cross. I think sometimes in the Christian life, we forget that God fought a war. Like we sometimes kind of baby Jesus, or we baby what he did on the cross. Like that was a messy, terrible thing that he had to die for us. Like Jesus didn't have to die. God didn't have to send him, but he had to. That's how God chose to love us. And so it just paints the picture that Jesus literally fought a war with Satan in hell. He won that war. It wasn't just like he went to heaven or went to hell and he shook Satan's hand and said, okay, you know, Jesus, you won. He literally fought him. And I think there, you know, I don't know what that whole, you know, war looked like, but I imagine that it was, you know, very terrifying, very powerful. So the war that we fight in this life against sin is not an easy one. We know that. It's not a war like we played as little kids of, you know, maybe cowboys and Indians or a soldier or whatever. We fight a war that we can't see, but God sees it. And so let us know that we have a weapon in our Bible and that we have a God that fights for us. We know that life is hard, but thank God that he gave us his sword, his word of truth, to help us guide through the murky waters called life. This brings us to our second point this morning. Honest confession precedes worship. The Israelites in chapter 9 of Nehemiah confessed their sins before God because it was preventing them from truly worshiping him and experiencing the joy and fullness that he wants us to have. He doesn't want us to live enslaved to sin, yet we choose to do so because we often think that life can't be better and have a misconceived notion of what true reality can be. See, what sin often does in our life is it gives us, I like to imagine like a horse. I don't know if you've ever seen the Kentucky Derby, but horses have blinders. And sin, I feel like, sometimes puts blinders on our focus of God or on reality, just like a horse in a race. The reality, friends, is that we need to live a life of redeemed in the eyes of Jesus, one where we are declared no longer guilty of our eternal punishment of sin and raised to new life in Christ. I know I was talking to Dave Love this morning about the reality of people, not just in Butler and the area, but a lot of people in our world today. They say they're good people, but they don't realize that they don't have a relationship with Jesus or not dealing with sin. And so just because you're a good person doesn't mean you're going to heaven. God makes that very clear, and that there is a war that God fought, and he died and paid a price for it, and that we need to deal with our sins. And so it's not easy preaching about sin. It's not easy dealing with it, but if we don't deal with our sins, there's no eternal hope. But thankfully, there's eternal hope because God has dealt with our sins. Because without God's grace, you and I would be dead to sin still. But often temptation of sin lures us back, and we should be focused on the life Christ has for us, one with hope, joy, and peace, not sorrow, unnecessary pain, and anguish. Bradley Green says, the Christian life is marked by the pursuit of righteousness, and yet our fallings, and when we do fall, there is still forgiveness, a forgiveness grounded in the Christ redemptive work that he did on the cross. John chapter 1, verse 9 offers that hope. The hope that we would continue to be forgiven even when we mess up. John says in verse 1, chapter 9, that if we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just, and he'll forgive us our sins. And I love that verse, that though we'll mess up, though we'll have issues, Christ died for our sins in the past, the present, and the future. So it's just a verse that I'm reminded of, that there'll be times where we might not necessarily like know that we sin, but thank God for a beautiful wife or family members or even you guys as a loving congregation where I struggle and you point out my faults in a loving way. And I'm just grateful that's how God designed the body of Christ, that we're there to lovingly correct each other. And so I'm just thankful that God died for our sins, past, present, and future. and that his grace abounds even in those moments. So an application. So when I think of sin, I don't know if you've ever seen a pig, like just playing in a pigsty, but there's a tendency that we wallow in our sin. We like to just stay put. But when I think of wallowing in sin, I think of a pig wallowing in their pen. It's nasty and it's gross. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay in that pit. So this morning, if you have unconfessed sin, let us confess that before the Lord this morning. But before we get there, perhaps an action step is just turning to the Lord for the first time. Perhaps you've never given your sins over to God and never experienced the true life Christ has for us. I know a lot of people say they're believers, kind of in the name only, and they never really experienced freedom from this past shame or guilt. So maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you know that God is good, you know that he is Savior, but you've never really trusted him to take away whatever burdens you this morning. Perhaps you never experienced the full joy of the Holy Spirit. So I just pray this morning that we experience that joy as believers. The Christian life is difficult, but God has our backs when we follow and surrender our lives to him. Our third point this morning is that a sinful heart erodes our worship for God. If we keep on sinning, we'll drive ourselves farther and farther away from God. We want nothing to do with him, not want to go to church, or even we'll stop wanting to be Christians together. It's really sad to see, and I don't know if you guys pay attention to the news often, but there's a lot of reports the past couple of years that a lot of Christian artists, like from Hillsong or even just well-known, you know, popular artists that I grew up with, they're no longer believers. They're kind of just not following the Lord for whatever reason. Even prominent pastors and authors as Joshua Harris. And Joshua Harris wrote a lot of dating books. I didn't read, but he wrote a lot of Christian dating books. And it was well-known in the evangelical circle. But just sad to see, like, was their heart really in it for God or what was it for? You see a lot of these televangelists. I'm not knocking. There's some great ones. I love Billy Graham. Billy Graham is definitely in heaven, I'm sure. There's a lot of people that live the Christian life the wrong way. They do it for selfish gain, or they do it for prideful gain. And not to knock Joel Osteen or them, but you can tell when people aren't living for the truth. They're living for themselves or for just earthly gain, when we know that eventually this world will pass away. I know the Lord says in Scripture that why should a man forfeit his soul and lose eternal life? I'm paraphrasing, but why should we want to gain the world and lose our soul and lose the eternal treasures that we have in heaven? Because that world is far beyond anything we can imagine. One day we'll not experience pain anymore. We'll not experience guilt of sin or shame in our life. But one day we will be free from the chains of, we are free from sin, but the effects of sin will one day pass away. We know Jesus is coming back. We don't know the day and the hour, but we know that he is imminently returning. And one day he'll come back and triumphantly defeat sin once and for all. And so I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know if Christ will come back in my lifetime, but it'd be awesome to come back and take all the terrible things in the world away. Because Jesus is a triumphant king. He proved it at dying on the cross, and he proved it in his resurrection, and he is going to prove it again when he comes back on a white horse, as Revelation tells us. And so I'm just excited for that. I'm excited for God to come back. But today, even though we have that longing of Christ coming, we can know that we can be eternally secure from our sin, and that God can help us deal with it. And so I know it's not easy to confess our sins. I know it's not easy to talk about things, but I feel like sometimes we can't move forward in our life or the life of a church if we don't deal with issues. And I just felt God stirring me this week that we should corporately pray. And pray. It just, you know, you can be silent. You don't have to come forward or talk to me. But I feel like that we should just pray and ask God to forgive whatever's in our hearts, wrongdoing we've had with people, so we can move forward this year and wherever God wants to lead us. So let us go into prayer. Heavenly Father God, on behalf of our church, behalf of even my own life, Lord, I know there's been things that that I haven't dealt with, and God, I know there's people here that wrestle with sin. Lord, we know that that the world is full of things that tempt us, that lead us astray. Lord, we know that you struggled with temptation, but yet you didn't sin. And God, we know that we have the power in you to say no to temptation or things that lead us astray. But God, so often that the enemy just prods us or or tweaks our heart a little bit, just to say, a little bit, you know, will never hurt you. Well, Lord, that little bit in the Garden of Eden led the whole race of humanity astray, and that's why you had to send your son. But Lord, you had a plan from the beginning, you had a plan for the lives of Adam and Eve and the whole human race, Lord, that you would redeem them through your son, Jesus. And Lord, in you redeem us, Lord. We know that the Christian life is not easy, Lord, especially in the 21st century, Lord, but it's never been easy, and you know that, but your grace is sufficient even in our weakness. And Lord, I pray that we would take sin seriously, we would deal with it, Lord, with you, and that we'd move on from it. Lord, and I love that the definition of repentance is simple. It really means just turn away. Turn away from what is evil and turn to what is good. That's you, Lord. And I pray, God, that that Butler would be a city of love, a city of peace for you, a city of hope. God, that people would see people in our county or even in our little small town, our church here, that we're people of hope and peace, and that we embody the risen Lord Jesus Christ, because you live within us, Lord. And so I pray today, God, that you just convict our hearts, that you've moved this morning. God, I know you're moving. I was touched this morning. I know a lot of us were surely touched from that song, Lord, that you're in control, Lord. And I think a lot of the reasons why we struggle with sin is, God, we want to be in control. We want to be God. Deep down, I think that's our core issue. But Lord, we can't be in control because you are the one who made us. You're the one who made our earth, and you're the one who will solemnly over everything, even if we don't realize it, God. But you are in control. And Lord, we just give our lives to you. We give our church to you. We give our hope to you, Lord, that you would redeem any brokenness in our lives. Lord, we know you have, but we pray that you do it again. And God, as we close and enter this time of worship with singing, Be Still and Know That You're God, I pray that we would be still and know that you're God of every aspect of our life. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. So I invite the worship team to come up, and we'll close with that last song. Let me pick my laundry up. Before we do that, I'll pick my laundry up so nobody trips. And as you listen to these lyrics this morning, I pray that that you know that God is with you in the storm, as we prayed this morning. There are many things that get us down in life, whether it be troubles with family or our finances or our cancer or illness or whatever it may be. There's a lot of things that lead us from God, not just sinful things, but just things in life. And so I just pray that you know that God is in control of your situation. It's hard for me. I have a big deal coming up with the Army, and pray for me to have patience. I love the Army, but... And a lot of things in life, there are certain things that just kind of eat at your attention, and the U.S. Army is one of them. And I'm going before the chaplain board to be a full chaplain this week. I've lost enough weight to go, so I appreciate prayers for that. But I feel like they've been nagging me all week, and I feel like it's been it's not them, but I feel like it's Satan. Like, I'm doing really good for the Lord and doing good for him serving in the Army, but I feel like it's him tweaking something that I love to do. And so just pray for me this morning that I'd be still in that situation, that God's in control, and not to get frustrated when I have 5 phone calls a day from something I've already dealt with. So I just appreciate that. So even your pastor struggles with being still. And so let us, as we close, just be still in the presence of God and enjoy that this morning. So let us stand and worship.
Me now under your wings, cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I would be still and know you are God. Rest my soul in Christ alone. Know his power,
know his power
in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God.
When I was preparing for this moment last night, it just came to me. I don't feel like these are just words, but I think that the Lord has this for your heart and has this for you. And I want you to know that in Psalms 36, God said, "For with you is the fountain of life, and how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." We all face storms, and some of us are facing them right now. But in the middle of the storm, even though we feel the loud thunder and lightning and flashes, and sometimes we feel like we're just shaking, or the thunder and lightning is shaking, we feel like we want to get away from the storm, and that would be wonderful. But to be honest, sometimes we can't avoid it. And so, but in that moment, we need to know that God is near. God is not out to hurt the children he loves.
Amen.
The Spirit of God will cover us with his wings as a hen does her chicks. So, in the middle of the storm, we trust. And in the struggles, we submit to the will of God. We look from the seen to the unseen, just knowing that somehow we're under his wings. And that's the analogy that God gives us, in his safety in all that he does.
Amen. As Jeannie continues to play, I'm reminded of Psalm 42, and it was a psalm that Dave Lauffer gave me when I was wrestling through some really tough times in my life and transition. And the psalmist says in Psalm 42, "As a deer pants for the stream of water, my soul thirsts for God and for the living God." Not just a God, but the living God, our God, Yahweh. "Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While men say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng." See, King David had a lot of enemies. Not just spiritually from Satan, but he had a lot of physical enemies that tried to literally take his life. So the book of Psalms is often a recount of that. But listen to these words as King David pours out his heart to God. "These things I remember, God, as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession of the house of God, the shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God." That same phrase, "my Savior, my God," is what Thomas, the apostle known as Doubting Thomas, said when he saw Jesus after he'd resurrected from the grave. And I just think about this morning that sometimes we know Jesus is Savior, but sometimes I think we don't realize that Jesus is God, that he's in control of every aspect of our life. We know that he's God, but sometimes, you know, we kind of put him in a box. And so I pray this morning that we wouldn't just put God in a box, but we just trust him that he is in every control of every aspect of our life, whether it be the good or the bad or whatever, God is in that. The psalmist goes on to say, "My soul is downcast within me, but therefore, God, I remember you. From the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep, and the roars of your waterfalls, all your waves and your breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love at night. His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Where are you down? Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. So I think in life, we often let things get in the way of God. And sometimes when we go through struggles, we go through storms in this life that we don't see where God is. How can God be bigger than this? How can God get us through this moment? I know a lot of us face different things, but God is sovereignly there even when we can't see him. And God is enough in every circumstance, despite whatever we're going through. We know one of God's mighty names is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. So perhaps God needs to provide love or comfort today for you, or finances, whatever you're going through. For those online, know that God is enough for you, and God is big enough and bigger than what we can ever imagine. We can't comprehend God, but we try to. But let's face it, we can't. We never will be able to understand God this side of heaven. Yes. And so this morning, whatever you're going through, I just pray that you know that God is in your situation. He's in your life. He cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about people that maybe don't know the Lord, or the situations where people are struggling with, maybe struggling to maybe take their own life. I know I've had a couple soldiers who've struggled with that this past week. It's just been a very difficult week, Lord, but you're in that situation. And Lord, I pray that wherever people are at right now, whether it be our church, or people online, or people in our area, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, they know that you are good, you are enough, and that you are king of their life. And Lord, that you aren't just some historical figure that preached a lot of good sermons and led a lot of good people, but Lord, that you truly came to redeem our broken world. And God, I pray that as you redeem our world, you continue to redeem us through sanctification and making us more like you. And Lord, I pray that the Alliance would not only be a beacon of hope in our Western Pennsylvania district, but the rest of the world. Lord, because a lot of churches are selling out for worldly things, but I pray the Alliance never would. I pray our Alliance Church never would, Lord. But Lord, I pray that we know as we go on from this place and we go about our day that we wouldn't forget about you. I know there's a lot of things that could take our attention. And Lord, I pray that today would be a day of worship, that today would be a day of dedicating our lives to you, Lord. You know, we see in the book of Joshua that Joshua declared that as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Lord, this is your house, but this is your house you've entrusted to us. And Lord, as the leader of this body of believers, I proclaim, Lord, from my voice, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we'll go to the grave doing it, God. Amen. It's in your own name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know his power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.
Shalom.